Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, happy Monday, everybody. We made it to a new week. Got to thank the Almighty for giving us that chance. It is cold as ice in New York City. It is not funny. Not funny at all. So, what I would like to do today is to thank you all, because we are officially at 20,114 listeners. So that's our big 20K push. We are very happy to hear that. We are looking forward into doing something special very soon. So you just keep on the lookout. We want to announce that our sponsorship point of purchase site is officially up and running on the PayPal site. You can visit us at our website, katielissa.wix.com/on the edge. All those words are hyphenated, on hyphen the hyphen edge. And a little bit more simpler, you can go right to our Facebook page, click on the sponsorships button, and you can take a look at all of the packages that we offer as an individual or as a small business or business, anyone, and you have different time frames and price packages. Our advertising packages will be up soon, so look out for that. So let's get into our shout-outs. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear him do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and then again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he is out in New York City giving you the best of R&B live events in the best of venues. However, he is also got his hand now in an American Idol type competition for all you aspiring singers called So You Think You Can Sing 2014. This is the way it works. You go over to his website, the track1entertainment.webs.com. You can click right on the So You Think You Can Sing link. You can register right online if you register ahead of time before the event. You will pay $25 a registration fee. And if you do it on the day of, it's $30. Or you can hit Barry up on Facebook or at track1entertain@gmail.com for more details. The way that it works is if you pick, you can pick from over 1,000 songs on their playlist, but if you choose a Whitney Houston song, because they are doing a tribute to the late Whitney Houston, you will get bonus points towards your final score after the judges have judged your audition. So that is the way it works. So once again, reach out to track1entertainment.webs, like spiderwebs.com, and you can register directly there, or you can hit up Barry Mason on Facebook, or you can go to track1entertain@gmail.com, and you could figure out how it is that you want to link up for this competition. To my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Feel Better, Homie, to Rodney Williams, DJ Domerker, he just came back from a funeral of a family member, so our condolences and wishes of peace to you, brother. Monster Miles stuck out with some family issues himself, so we would definitely be giving him our prayers. And last but not least, to our favorite panelists and our other very important team member on this team, Deacon Zeddy Williams of Toledo, Ohio. I want to thank the Real World Black News and Discussions Group and the Black Love and Conversations Group for being advocates of the pre-broadcast topic discussions, giving me input, insight, feedback, suggestions for topics, bringing me up to speed on their communities. Thank you all very much. And to our definite panelists that have been here nonstop this week, I want to thank you all very much. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is sort of a sister segment of a previous segment that we did regarding single parenthood. But we want to revisit this again, and we want to speak on two parts today. We're going to speak from one end, which is single moms. Tomorrow we'll be speaking on single fathers. The title today is Single Parenthood. Is that one down for the home team? Because this is the question, and apparently this is becoming a debate. And people are tending to get it mixed up with what it means when we say that children need both sides. And I want to make sure that that's understood and be clear. Do single parents need each other or need the other half to have a well-rounded upbringing? That's the question. Or is supermom or super dad doing enough to bring up a well-rounded individual? Is it a necessity? Is it a need? Is it a mandatory thing? Or is it just okay the way it is? That's the question that's on the table tonight. But I do want to make sure that you all understand we are not questioning the ability of a single parent to do anything, because we've already seen that there's been quite a group of single super moms and single super dads. So we're not talking about whether they can do it. We're speaking on whether or not having both male and female influences in a child's life is necessary for an effective and well-rounded upbringing. That is the question on the table. So I will be going out today with George Benson and Turn Your Love Around, and when we get back after a word from our sponsors, we will get this discussion started. So don't go away. Keep it locked right here.
You just don't understand. New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered. Featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, tonight we are discussing single parenthood. Is that one down for the home team? Okay, we want to first begin by saying we are absolutely not questioning the ability of a parent to do it by themselves. That is definitely not what we're speaking about today. We know that you mamas are out there doing your thing. We know that you daddies are out there with a cape. So we are not trying to question whether or not we can do it alone. The question is, will a child be robbed or shortchanged of a fully effective and well-rounded upbringing without the pleasure, or I should say, without the grace of both sides of influence being in their life? Now, as a single mom, I can tell you, we can do it. I've definitely had to do it. A lot of my network of single parents have had to do it. So, yes, we can. Should we have to? No. Is it something that if we could do it differently, or if we had choices, that we wouldn't want it any another way? Yeah, we would. Because we women are not men. No matter how much we can teach our children how to be good people, we could teach our sons what not to do, we can do it from a woman's standpoint. But we cannot teach our sons the feelings of a man, what it is that makes a man's ego, what it is that's the embarrassment, because most of the time we're too busy worried about not letting their feelings be hurt. We're very much the nurturing type. We're the ones that they will probably do something, say something, and we will give in a little quicker. Whereas men, on the other hand, rule with a little bit more of an iron fist, especially with their sons or with a boy. Now, does it mean that you need to be involved in a relationship if you're a single person and have that type of a man figure in your life? That would be a great thing, but that's not exactly what we need. Every boy needs a male figure in their life. Now, if that means a favorite uncle, a local youth director, a counselor, somebody that they can relate to, that has a little bit of older experience on them, that can be a few steps ahead in the life cycle than they are, and keep their foot in their butts if that's what it takes, or keep on them, encourage them, or be friend with them, that's what it means. That is the question on the table. We do need to have the other half, ladies. We do. Tonight is about single mothers in particular needing that man in their life. And we do. We need a man, male figure. Boys need the presence of males. We are not doing them any favors by walking around with our super, super duper independent strong woman. That is not what is beneficial to our children. And once again, this is not putting down the ability of any woman, not any woman out there. It is not. What we are doing is speaking in terms of the child on the overall broad picture, encompassing every aspect of child rearing. Now, that's my take on it. We do have a panelist trying to come in, so just give me a minute. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air. Hello? Okay, well, they're probably, we have a bad connection with the caller, so let's get him back into this. So we definitely have gotten to the point, ladies, where we've had to do it all by ourselves. There's a higher rate of fathers not being around. There's a lot more teen moms and dads out there. There's a lot more, I don't know, what maybe one-night stands that turn into pregnancies, but you know what? We're raising our babies. Now, this is the problem. The teens nowadays don't have the village that we as their parents had. We speak about this quite often on the show. And they don't have the village that we have, so what do? Do we sit there and say, you know, don't talk to my child that way? Because we know that nowadays the neighbors don't mean the same that they meant when we were growing up. No. From every person there could be a message that you need to hear. You need to know your child as well, and you need to know the person that's talking to you. But sometimes it's not the messenger you need to look at when it comes to your children. It's the message. So when it comes to your sons, ladies, I don't care how strong we are. Usually what starts to happen is when your sons start hitting that 14, 15, and definitely 16, depending on how much bulk they have on their arms, depending on how much hair they have on their chest, depending on how much height they have on their body, they're going to start smelling their sweat. Now, for the first few months of that transition, many of us will have the power to control it. We will pray that that respect alone from our sons to their moms will work. But oftentimes, something about the street pulls them a lot faster and overrides any type of loyalty to mom that they might have. A lot of times that happens. That's usually where the breakdown happens. And without a man in place, any strong, positive male figure in their life to do the, nonsense. That's nonsense, and I'm not taking it approach. They can go either way. Okay? So that is one of the things that we have to consider as women. Secondly, if your son should ever get up to the point of getting into a position where they feel they can post on you physically, and if it's one of those situations, just saw a video today that was posted by a Facebook friend of mine of a mother shopping in Passmark with her teenage son and daughter. She's looking one way. The kids are busy picking off the grapes, eating all the produce, picking it, eating it, touching it. There's a guy, instead of walking over to the mom and telling the mom immediately or trying to approach the kids a little sooner, he's busy taking his own little video phone camera version to post to YouTube to expose this mom as a bad mom or whatever. So he finally talks to the child, and this child tells him, what's it to you? Who are you? This kid couldn't have been more than 15 or 14. His sister, a little younger. They're laughing at the guy. The guy's like, if I was working here, you would have gotten in trouble. So now that he goes over to the mom, and he tells his mother what her children are doing. So the mother flips around, and she's like, what are you doing with the grapes? Why are you starting in here? What are you doing? This boy turns to his mother and says, bitch, you must be crazy. Then he says, you better get out my face. You better rethink what you're doing. You must be out of your mind. Turns to his sister and laughs at his mother in Passmark. and says, she's bugging out. She's like on something. Snatches his mom's wig off her head and is swinging it around inside and then physically getting into a fight with his mother over the wagon. Security's coming involved in everything. The sister's sitting there laughing. This mom is screaming out in despair. She doesn't know what to do. She's sick of these kids. She's doing this. This is where it comes to. Why? More than likely, there wasn't a consistent, strong male figure in their life. And once again, ladies and anybody that's on the feminist side of this, we are not speaking about men being a need because women are the weaker sex or women are incapable. We are speaking because that is just the way it goes. They need both sides. They need to see the way two different styles of parenting, two different styles of child rearing is, because women do tend to be more nurturing, more softer, more submissive to their children. We do tend to get more maternally emotional about the decisions we make. Men tend to be a little more no-nonsense or dismissive about certain things, meaning that they don't want to entertain all the whining. They don't want to entertain all the complaining. They're not going to hear from, you know, you be told 2 to 3 times to do something. And usually, if there's a two-parent household and the mom is telling the child something, the child's not listening, it's when the father steps in and goes, "What did you hear what your mother just said?" Not saying, once again, ladies, that we are not capable of being just that, but we will never be able to be a man in our boys' lives. We can give them the roundabout. We can give them the third-party view. We can give them everything that we can imagine it, a good man should be. But getting there, the struggles, the procedures, the walk in the steps, that's something they can only relate to with the man, and they'll never be able to open up and talk to their mothers that straight or their favorite aunts or a female cousin or anything like that. That is the situation. We do have a panelist coming in. Let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, Corley, on the air.
Good evening, Ms. Barnett. How are you?
How are you, sir, this evening?
All right.
All right, what's your take on tonight's subject?
I would just, man, I was blown away by the story you was telling about the kids and their parents and Pathmark, it was, you said?
Yeah.
First of all, if it had been my mother, that teenager wouldn't be around to tell about it. I can tell you that much. And if it had been my mother, it would have been my uncle or even my father, even though they were separated. It wouldn't have gotten that far in the store in the first place. First of all, when they went into the store, they knew how to act. And my mother, at the age of 80 plus years old today, she still don't play. today's children are man, you have too many parents that are trying to be these kids' friends, and that's not parenting, because that's just like trying to mix oil and water. It's not going to mix. It's not going to be a good outcome. And as far as a single parent and a woman dealing with a teenage boy, if it comes down to the point to where he feels like I'm not going to say smelling his sweat, I'm going to be straight out with you, he's smelling his own piss. That's what he's doing. And if the father isn't there in the household and he's somewhere else and he knows about it, the first time it happens, it ought to be taken care of. It was me in a position like that, I put my foot on his neck. And he probably wouldn't be able to talk for a long while if that happened and he disrespected his mother like that. You know, there's no excuse for it at all. And if you let him get away with it the first time, it's going to happen again. Don't fool yourself and think it's not. And that's the same with an abusive spouse. You can't let him get away with it the first time because it's going to happen again. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, all right. You can believe that if you want to. And I have a snowball. A baked snowball for you, if you believe that. So it's just ridiculous. It's when I heard about this, I said, "Oh no!" Yeah. Snatched her wig off and calling and talking disrespectful to her in the store. No.
calling out all sorts of names. And I think that what upset me more so, too, was that the person videotaping it. When we speak about village raising a child and everything like that, this is the thing that it seems our people are doing a lot more lately, too. It's the video phone cinematography. It's like no one is sitting around trying to step up and do the village roles anymore. Not anyone. So this man is using his cell phone to try to expose how bad this mother is. And that wasn't the case. She couldn't be a bad mother if she was there with these two rotten brats in the store buying food for them and shopping, because she was. You know, sitting up there, and from the way they were dressed, she obviously was giving them good clothes, and they turned on her to embarrass her, call her P-names, whore names, all sorts of stuff. Had one security guard get in the way, pushing the mom away from her kids instead of the kids away from the mother. And meanwhile, the whole while this is going on, Mr. Videographer is busy with the commentary. Don't have no control over her kids. You probably realize that there wasn't a father there. You want to figure out where he went?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the same
sense. That couldn't have been me in the store, because I would have had to step in and do something or say something. Well, what's going on? I know it's not any of my business. I don't know you, and I don't know if these are your kids or not, but I'm not going to stand here and watch this woman be abused by some youngster. No, that's out of the question.
Wasn't just the son. The son was the one that was in the middle of the big tussle. The daughter was coming around with her wig and everything, adding to it and slacking up on the mom from the side and the whole nine. I mean, this is where you're at when you don't have both sides to stick their foot where it belongs. The only problem is with that, too, is that, you know, nowadays these kids are hopped up on whatever imagery they think is cool out there. So even more so, trying to run alone is not a good thing.
Yeah.
The foods are making these kids, like, mutated. The brain cells don't think right. They're more hyperactive. They're more, supercharged with acting like they have psychosis going on and things to that effect. So these type of things, you need, you know, more and more involvement with people that's a village. This stuff about trying to put them on medication because everybody's bipolar or everybody's got ADHD or everybody's got, you know, some sort of psychosis that needs to be labeled with a drug that later is going to give them some commercial talking about they have about 8 million different side effects, then a lawyer who specializes in suing for those side effects. Okay?
Yeah.
Rather that, it's just a matter, if you look back, half of us don't have the old-fashioned village that used to be at one point.
Right.
But for ladies, which is tonight's segment, I'm sorry, sir, but tonight's two-part segment, part one, is strictly dealing with single mothers. Our mindsets, ladies, have to change. Men are there for a reason. They're not just there to donate sperm. They're not just there because we need physical needs met. They're there because there's a role that they play in child rearing, whether they are the natural dad, whether they are an uncle, whether they are a counselor or somebody that your sons look up to. You need to open up and welcome the help, because it's a hand up. It does nothing speaking against your abilities. Go ahead, sir. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, well, that's no problem. It's with some of these single mothers, they have the type of attitude, well, for whatever reason, they're not together with the father. And well, for whatever reason, there should never be no excuse without that man figure there when it comes to the males, to the male children. Because I don't care what it is you and him are going through, there should be a time where he should be able to step in and do some correction or disciplining. You know, even if you guys are not getting along, you have to get along for the kids. You have to do that. That's very important. But if you're always bad mouthing him or something like that, and even if it was a situation where he was abusive, but he should have sense enough and have enough sense as a man to know that he has to help still raise that child. You know, he helped himself to lay up with that woman and make these babies, right? So, you know, there's no excuse for it. You know, and then if a child is acting out like that, you have to be accountable of, well, where did this child get this from, the disrespect towards his mother?
Right.
And more than likely it's come from some idiot so-called father and don't realize the effect he has had on his own child. And really doesn't care because he figures, well, I'm not there in the household. She don't want me there, so I'm not going to be there with her neither. So whatever comes up against her, let her deal with it. And that's a coward's way out. You know, that's not my version of being a father. You know, anybody can reproduce. Dogs can do that every day. You know, but it takes a real man to stand up and be a father to his children. So, you know, that's the way I feel about it. Because there's no way any child of mine is going to disrespect his mother. If he does, his jawbone's not going to be sitting right.
And that's a definite call. I see you there. Just hang on with me 1 minute. One of the things that I don't, that we do, like I said, women nowadays, we're a lot more independent. Most of the time, we're becoming a little harder because we're forced to be. But you know what, ladies? We have got to relinquish that because being hard is not going to do anything for us. We are not in the mindset of a male. We cannot pulse like a male. We cannot piss like a male. We can't do the things men do. All right? Don't worry, fellas. Tomorrow's your turn. Tomorrow's your turn. There's a couple of things that has to be on the table about you daddies, even though most of you pretty much got that knowledge up front that you're not going to be really good at raising your daughters on your own. But one of the things that we do have to get back, girls too. Daughters need their dads too. Daughters need the male figures in their life too. There are plenty of things that, you know, too many people were focusing on telling these mothers that they need a man in their life simply for the sons. No, boo-boo. There's a whole lot more of reasons why a daughter needs a daddy or a good male figure in their life. That one that will not only have the shotgun, quote, end quote, the proverbial shotgun for the suitors that come up for her, for those boys that are starting to, as my grandmother used to say, sniff around the yard. Okay, but a man to tell her from a man's standpoint, I love you, I protect you, and you know what? You are worth more than just giving yourself away to any old person that comes with a sweet piece of work. You know, you are better than that. You are not going to be disrespecting yourself out there. This is the way you should be dressing. If you need to talk to me, come talk to me. What does the boy say? What is it? That is what a girl needs, because the first person that she sees in her life as the representation of a man in her life is what she is going to choose out there.
Nice.
Lack of protection in the home will make her look for it someplace else. There's a caller on the line that I need to bring in, so allow me to join them in. Oh boy, this studio is acting up. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Katie.
How are you? Okay, let me guess. Arlene.
Yes.
I got it.
Right.
So I know if you're there, Darlene is not
far behind.
You know Darlene is right behind me. Hi, Dee. Hi, panel. How's everybody? Good?
All right.
Let me try to bring our other panelists in because there was a bad connection earlier. If I don't hear from him now, I'll have to remute him. All right. Welcome to the show, Carly. You on the air? Okay, I think that's Rod. Rod, if that's you, I'm having a hard time hearing you. Rod? Okay, well,
I
actually miss him. And let me bring in your sister, because I believe that's who's calling in right now. Hold on a minute. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Katie, my love. Hi, panel.
Hi,
Darlene.
Okay. All right, great. All right, Arlene, you are up first, so what's your take on tonight?
I feel that children do need both parents because both parents play separate roles. The mother gives them the nurturing that a woman is designed to give, and the father gives them the substance. For future reference in dealing with men as they tend to grow, and the father gives them that security, that, you know, we both play totally separate roles. So, yeah, both parents are needed. But I also am clear on the fact that our mentality as women, for those of us who grew up without a father in the home, we feel that we don't need our men. And I think that plays a big part in why a lot of times they're not available to our children, because we as women, we can be very difficult, you know, and some of us hold our kids hostage, you know, basically in the relationship. You know, they want the man, and they use the child as a pawn. And
that's definitely one of the biggest problems, yes.
I think that's one of the biggest problems, and we are doing our children a disservice, because I can't teach a boy how to use the bathroom because I'm not equipped for that, and the male can't teach my daughter how to use the bathroom and things that are woman-oriented because he's not equipped like that. So it's necessary on both ends, but we as parents have to get ourselves in check and get our minds in check. And I think it stems from way back, you know, because my mother, when she was raising us, you know, my father wasn't around either, but my mom did have a boyfriend. And the relationship that they had is like she didn't really need him. So I grew up with, okay, you could be here or not.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So I think that affected
my overview in the importance of the male in the home as far as the children. But, you know, I did pretty good with my children as a single mom. Their lives could have been much better with their father in it.
I will say, to touch on that, that is something that definitely has to be a point brought out, because, like I said, today's segment is geared towards single moms, the women's side of the situation. And one of the things is, yes, growing up, my mom, we grew up without a father. Now, this is the funny thing, because there's so many aspects to this that has to be, I think Rod called back in. Hold on 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, Cole. Are you on the air?
Hello.
Hi, Rod. Okay, you back. All right. Hang on. You'll be
hey,
up.
Rod.
You'll
hey,
be up
what's
back
happening?
Okay. One of the things, my mom grew up without our father in the home. My father, okay, we had the difficulty of this. My dad was a deadbeat show up, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. We knew who he was. He would come around occasionally to ground us for months on end, and, you know, like, he grounded us, he'll discipline us, and he's gone. We knew where he lived. We knew, you know, every now and then we get something. Matter of fact, in a twisted sort of way, he's the one that taught us all the valuable things that we needed to know, because my mom was really a pretty timid person. Okay, so all of the values, like in my dad's twisted way, he taught us. He taught us girls how to handle our hygiene every month based from what a guy wouldn't like. So what I mean by that is, like, he would say things like, and don't no man want to smell no good, no woman every month. Women got things men don't have, so you got to keep yourself clean. You know, things to that effect. Whereas a mom would sit down and speak to her daughter on a different perspective. That's something a man couldn't do. Meanwhile, that's exactly what we're saying, ladies, with regards to things that you can't talk to a boy about the way a boy can. The first time he gets that urge to look, when he looks at a girl and doesn't understand it, it's not a mother he's going to come to. The first time he starts to wonder why his voice is changing and people are laughing at him in school, even though we can understand the concept of bullying and be able to talk on that, they're only going to see us as, you're my mom, you're going to say that anyway. Meanwhile, a guy understands what it means to be ridiculed from that point of view. Because a guy's muscles, a guy's private part, a guy's voice and the hairs that he has in his chest and his face, that's what makes a man in their eyes, you know? Yeah. So we're not going to understand what it's like that, you know, our wieners might not be as big as the guys say it should be in the locker room.
Right.
The same way a father's not going to understand when a girl doesn't wants to be not flat-chested at 12 because she sees her classmate with a bra size that's 2 or 3 up, you know, those type of things. Or why she's 11 and still didn't get her period for the first time. None of these things a man is going to understand. Tomorrow's
right.
segment needs.
Right.
But that's the part that it's not so much that we can't physically teach them. It is not so much that we cannot physically do it. It is the fact that there's a mindset behind what women can do for girls and guys can do for guys. But the mistake that we also tend to make is to forget that girls need the male figures too.
Yeah, definitely.
As a role model.
Definitely.
Yes.
As a role model, as
I'm
a protector, as somebody...
Turn.
As somebody in the male race to let them know that, listen, we can see boobs and butt all day. You don't need to be sitting around, walking around, exposing that as yourself. I'm not saying to say it in that respect. That's the way we were told it. Because my dad pretty much told us, pull your pants up, pull your dress up, pull your dress down, pull your pants up. What you doing? That's too tight. That's too this. That's because he had other issues. But what I'm saying is that's the way he taught us. That was his way of saying in his world that, yes, we know what you have, but we don't need to see it to identify you or to validate who you are. That's what a girl needs a dad for. A girl also needs that father toughness to come up and go, you get up there. Where you going?
Right.
Okay, whereas a mother would do it and she could roll her eyes and we would feel bad about it. We'll get
Absolutely.
Tough with it. Don't get us wrong. We'll backhand her if we have to. We'll get tough. But there is just nothing like that ultimate toughness that a man gets.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. We need them both. I mean, you know, had my father been around, I'm sure the decisions that I made as far as my choice of men and throughout my lifespan would have been different. You know what I'm saying? Because I would have had something to go on. See, to me, a man sit his daughter down and he say, okay, you know what, baby, this is the kind of quality that you look for when you're looking for a man to share your life with. You know what I mean? And by him demonstrating that, you know, it's more impactful because after he had the conversation with her, he'll come home from work, he'll do what he got to do in the house, he'll kiss his wife or show love to either the wife, the kids, whatever. And see, that sets a tone for her in her mind. And in her heart, wow, I want a man just like my dad. But when you don't have nothing to go on, I mean, like, it's up in the air. And that's how we end up having babies for the wrong reasons, looking for love for all the wrong reasons, and looking for love in the wrong places as well. And then we end up with children that, not that we don't want, that could have been conceived with a different mindset and in a different surrounding and environment and with more love. You know what I mean?
Right. Darlene, you can weigh in and then live. The mic goes to you. So you first, Darlene.
Mm-hmm. Well, Arlene, you know, it's amazing because, like, she just said everything I was going to say because first and foremost, for me, you know, by God's grace and mercy, I know what the topic is, but I also need to touch on is it all depends on the quality of man or of woman that is raising the child. It can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. Now, what I mean by that is simply that, okay, if the man is in the house, he's supposed to show qualities that a man has that would be more, not so much catering to, but respectful to, considerate toward the woman. You know, and the same thing goes for the woman. If the woman is showing being respectful to the female,
you're saying now, Darlene, you got a
daughter, power woman.
Darlene, we're losing you. Darlene, we're losing.
You know,
wait, she's losing me, she said.
Oh, you're losing me? Yeah, we got you back now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. But anyway, like what I was saying is that if the woman is supposed to be a role model for the female, and, you know, to show her that the qualities, like the mom is the soft spot, soft spoken, oh, my baby, protected, blah, blah, blah. And she shows us integrity. She shows us pride. She shows us respect. She gives us survival skills. You know, she helps us with our survival skills. And with the father gets the real girly part, like, oh, daddy, you know, that little desire that the little girl is daddy's little girl type thing. And that's why when the father is missing, the child misses out on that. And when we grow up, because we never had it, we don't know how to play sports because we don't have a guideline. With the man shows the male more or less how to be a real man, how that a woman is supposed to be treated, how he's supposed to respect the black woman, how he's supposed to be the best of the best of man that he could ever be. He gets the voice those problems, and when a man is living out of a boy's life, he has no guideline. So, and if the mother happens to choose the wrong kind of man, the impact can be devastating. Because today, you know, what's acceptable was not acceptable when we were coming up. Like, it wasn't okay to slap the woman around. It wasn't okay to call her out of her name. It wasn't okay to curse at the kids. See, the momentum now is different with the upbringing of the children today, so the quality has dropped drastically.
Absolutely.
So that's why a lot of young girls think that by getting pregnant will hold a man. That's why today's girls think like, oh, you have to be available, loose, and free, and easy in order to gain sex for that attention that she was missing from her dad. That's why she goes out and she just lays with whoever tells her she's cute, you know, because she was missing that special attention. The mother can always nurture us, but the dad plays a role. He plays that role, like what is feasible, what you shouldn't tolerate, what you're worthy of. The mother just says, listen, girl, all right, now you go out there, you let a boy do this and this and that, you come home with a baby and blah, 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 blah. See, my mom gave you, listen, it was first entity.
Darlene, I'm going to need you to speak a little close again. You keep fading back out on me, sweetheart.
I'm sorry. With my mom, it was birds and bees. My mom never sat us down and said, listen, if you let a man into you, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because a mom is more shy with that subject.
Father, forceful.
Not me.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying back in the day, now we don't have a choice because we are raising them by ourselves, so we have to be mother and dad. But when the dad took his place, the mother didn't have to worry about that because it would be a family sit-down power. That's how we used to do it. And even though it was birds and bees, and we thought it was birds and bees for a long time until we realized that the we was the bird and the man was the bee because he did the singing, right? You know, we had to figure it out. However, you know, like my sister said, if my father was in position, because no matter what kind of love you get, it's no love like your father. You can have a stepdad. He can love you, but you still seem
missing
to miss
that.
Something. You still seem to miss that daddy. That's like, you know, daddy, you made me, you know? And listen, either we do too much or we do too less. Children don't come with a blueprint. So we just have to go with what we know.
and whatever we were taught.
What we know is distorted.
So, you know, and that's how it goes, but it's always better to have both. So a child can grow up and have a better quality of life and be able to make better decisions. That goes for the female as well as the male.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm going to touch on something you said after I give Rod his opportunity. Rod, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. So you had
some
problems with your phones over there, huh?
No, your phone. Go ahead.
See, I saw the video you mentioned earlier, a few moments of it. It was hilarious, but at the same time sad.
I didn't find anything funny with it. I mean, not even. I'm sure quite a few ignorant people were laying back there laughing about the lady's wig coming off. I didn't find a damn thing funny with a kid turning on his mother in a public place to the point where security had to come in there. Kindly did not think it was funny. Not at all.
I didn't understand that turning on the mother part because, again, we're from a different era. That just doesn't happen in my day.
He calls her names that a pimp would call his trick or his prostitute. And the thing that came out of this boy's mouth, when I look at my son, I've gone through some things with my own boy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you right now that 16-year-olds in this day and age smell their sweat beyond belief. Okay, and I can tell you that. So when I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sitting here on no higher than mighty expertise clown chair. I'm living the same thing you all are. And when I look at some of the things that come out this kid's mouth, and I think about every minute that I stayed up there rushing to the hospital breathing, it's appalling. This kid was being rude as hell, eating up other people's produce, telling the guy who was asking him why was he eating all that stuff, and for him to be no more than 15 or 14, to tell some elder person, what's it to you?
I'll cut you off just for a second and tell you what I had to put up with. I found it funny because I came from an age when that just doesn't happen. So when I grew up and met my friend, and I have raised her little boy, and she could have been that woman in that video, and I more or less had to stand on his neck all the way through. And I had to fight with her, too, because her response was, he's just a little boy. He doesn't know what he's saying. Like, the hell is wrong with you? You're a Jamaican woman. How can you possibly think this behavior is okay? So that's what I had to put up with. My girlfriend could have easily been that woman in the video.
Wow.
I did not let it happen. From day one, I went in there and took charge. Now that he's big, he's a big guy now, driving, has a girlfriend, I don't have to worry about him being one of those bad people out in society.
Well, it's
easy for that kind of stuff to happen.
Yeah.
And with the lack of both sides, Darlene, you brought something up where you were saying it's good for them to have both sides because, listen, first of all, it's like arguing a point. You know, if you're going to try to persuade somebody to your side, you need to hear two different sides of an argument. Well, in this respect, like you just said, Rod, you had to deal with another person's child with an attitude. He had daddy issues. He had problems. He had whatever. He had an attitude. With the mother, with the woman, boys, no matter who it is at some point in time, sometimes they'll get to a point where they'll stop themselves because they'll feel that I could do this, but this is my mother. But lately, a lot of these teens nowadays, if they get over once, they're going to continue and they're going to grow more strength in their mind with it. Okay, something somebody brought up in the pre-broadcast topic discussion where they said people need to understand the difference between a single parent and a parent that's single. Now, when she elaborated on this, and it was a great point to bring up, there are so many different aspects to single parenthood, and then there are some benefits and some really bad scenarios. Now, if you've got a parent that you just can't cohabitate with, but they are an active parent from wherever they are, you're not a single parent.
No.
You might physically have custody, but if you can call that father or you can call that mother, and that person can have just as much effectiveness disciplinarian-wise, okay, that is involved with their children's schooling, that can call you from London while you're in New York and ask your kid, why didn't you do well on that math test? What were you doing when you were supposed to be studying? You are not single,
right.
Okay? You are just physically not with that person. But if you got a man, if you have a that parent in the house with you as well, but they're distant and detached and dismissive and not cooperative or participative, you might as well be a single parent.
Exactly.
With an extra body to raise. Then you have the ones that are, that single parent is exactly what it is. There's an absentee father or mother. All right, but like I said, today we're going to talk about single mothers. So in this case, an absentee father. Okay, there's an absentee father. So now what do you do, ladies? You take on this thing about, I don't need no man. I can do this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you do. For your wise-ass mouth daughter and for your wise-mouth son, who also thinks that
and
he's
single. And for your wise-ass too.
Right? For your mouth. For your daughter's mouth, for your son's attitude, for the walking and talking that it takes for these kids. Guys don't take the amount of crap a mother takes. Guys don't take it. The strongest, most don't play around with me garbage woman still will take a little more from a kid than a man will.
Yes, definitely. Most definitely.
We will still tolerate more than a man will. Okay?
Yes.
We're not going to tolerate. Oh, the one thing that I could tell you that I still don't tolerate, and I know growing up in our days, if you were hurt sucking your teeth, you may not have had teeth to suck when they were done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of that. I see a lot of kids posting up at their moms. I see a lot of people sitting around waiting 2, 3, 4 times the mother's calling them before they even move. Nowadays, with these new video games, it's even more of a, you know, droop and sit type aid. So you're going to have a lot more time. And then a lot of these kids are going bananas if a mother should yank their PS2 cord out. Or what is it now, PS4?
Mm-hmm.
So you yank out the Xbox cord or whatever, and that might be grounds for a fight between these kids. So that's one. But now this woman brought up, there's a way that parents can, you know, are not actually single. Now, like I brought up with the scenario, if you've got a damn parent in the house, biological parent especially, that just sits around as a couch potato that uses his lap as a beer holder for life and a remote on the other end. You know, if all he does is get up to go use the bathroom to pee out his beer and lay on the couch and snore his way around while you're doing all the work, then obviously you might as well be a single parent.
Exactly. Yeah.
With an extra adopted kid that's as grown as you are. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's the problem. If you've got two parents that can't agree on how to raise a kid, mommy said yes, daddy said no. Daddy said no, mommy said yes. You know, a lot of times, mom, you know we do that.
Yes,
if we do have a little
rapport
with the fathers, they know you under there because your kid's looking all sad. They did something bad.
Mm-hmm.
They did something really bad. Their father wasn't happy. They and just pretty much said, guess what? I don't want to hear it. No phone, no games. You ain't going anywhere. You're not getting any money. Don't come out your room. You're in the room looking all deserted and sad, and we're going, don't tell you.
Yeah. All
right? There you go. Bingo. We done opened up a pothole. So we do it. Then we'll turn around, and when these kids grow up and figure that we're doormats or whatever the case is, we have a problem. Now, once again, ladies that are doing this their thing, please don't jump up inside your radio stations right now going, what is she talking about? If the shoes don't fit, what do I say, panel?
Mm-hmm.
Don't wear it.
They know what you're talking about, and that's what's really, really sad about it, Katie, is because even though you're speaking, every action that we
perform as far as going against the grain with the father. Our mentality, we won't even be real with ourselves, a lot of us, and acknowledge the fact that that is just how we feel. You know, because I know a lot of women, I've heard them myself, single mothers, I don't need that, nigga. You know, and that's the killer part right there. Our straight up mentality. And I think that, first of all, it may or may not come from the female herself not having a father and taking on that mentality, or either the mother embedded that mentality into her. But either way, it's not good for our children, because now we're creating more of the same product. You understand what I'm saying? Just because
right.
you feel that way doesn't mean that that's how you're supposed to teach your child. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, you feel like robbing a bank, so you want to encourage your child to do that. No, if that's a personal choice. If you want to rob a bank, you go rob it by yourself. You know,
that's how
we feel. We want to impose that feeling on the people that are in our surroundings, which 9 times out of 10 is our children. And then they grow up with that mentality, and then they make babies, and they teach their babies to have that mentality. And that, you know, we as women, we need to check ourselves on a serious tip. As mothers, we need to check ourselves definitely, because our boys are growing up so these kids now, I'm on the train. All of them got their pants hanging on. I'm seeing nothing but butt. Nothing but butt. And then you got a whole train full of elderly people. Yo, that B. Yo, that hoe. Yo, that. It's no respect at all. Not even for the elderly. So it has gotten really bad. So we, as the nurturers, we need to get our game plan together and stop with the foolishness. We need to check ourselves. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be realistic with ourselves. And we need to be truthful with ourselves.
For the betterment of our children.
For the betterment of our children.
Right. I think that problem, I see you there, Carla. I'll bring you in just a minute. The problem with us is we need to learn when we do have that male influence in their life, and I'm not, like I said, not necessarily meaning it's a romantic connection. It could be, like we spoke earlier, of an uncle, of a community leader, somebody that has an effect on your child in the
mm-hmm.
absence of their father. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to learn how to nurture, but from a distance, when discipline is being instilled. And when
right.
something hard, we do need to turn off our maternal emotions when it comes down to sticking out the punishments on certain things, and we don't. I spoke about it before, my own personal experience at one point when we wind up going homeless or whatever the case was that my first reaction was to blame me for failing them, in a sense, or for not being able to control a situation that was beyond my control. So I found myself disciplining them based on my own guilt about the situation that I couldn't control. And what I did was everything that they did, be it how small or be it a grand thing, I would discipline them accordingly, but then I would find myself easing back and saying to them, I understand you're acting out, but this is not the choices that you can make because of that. Meaning that
right.
I'm giving them an out, in a sense. So instead of me just disciplining the action, I had to figure out in my own mind how to justify the bad actions from them. And it wasn't a good thing to do. Let me bring in our other co-host. So,
Katie, this is Darlene. And another thing I need to bring forward,
and I
you
do
know,
need to bring our second panelist in, Darlene.
Huh?
I do have another panelist in, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Continue your point.
No, I just wanted to say that, and, you know, we as the parent, we as the mother,
the nurturer. We get ourselves in a certain situation, and we make bad decisions. And then we turn around and we look to blame, right? Instead of looking at ourselves, we'll blame the children. You look just like him. Oh, you're going to grow up to be just like his no good so-and-so-and-so. Or you know what, I wish you stopped acting like him. See, they don't realize that they are planting the seed. When they talk negative to their children concerning the other father, listen, my dad wasn't all that great. But God, here's my right hand to God. My mother never said a bad word about my dad. Whatever understanding, conclusion that we came to, it was our own. She allowed us that. She never talked bad about him. She allowed us to find him out for ourselves. And I think that was a beautiful thing. I respect my mother for that because if she would have raised us, taught me bad about my dad, that would have caused me to have a resentment against her.
True. All right, 1 second. Let me bring in our other panelists. He's been waiting a while. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
How are you guys doing this evening? This is Professor Carlton Jones.
Hi, Professor.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well,
hey,
what's tonight's topic?
Well, I'm listening to the conversation, and it brings me to my childhood a little bit because although I grew up without seeing my father a lot during my childhood, I had other male role models and other men that sort of checked me and let me know where the boundaries were. I think a lot of times those things are missing nowadays because families are so isolated. And, you know, we also have to recognize, too, the generations, generational-wise, things have changed, and not necessarily for the better, in terms of our parenting skills, in terms of, the average age of a parent is getting younger every generation in our community. So when we have parents who still haven't had a chance to live out their oats, to speak of, they're still wanting to go out and party. They're still wanting to go out and have a social life. And now we have grandparents who are younger grandparents who are saying, no, listen, you brought that child into this world. It's your responsibility. So, you know, the net that used to be there is not there no more. The safety net is not there no more. So those aspects contribute to what we see in society with our children, with our youth. And I don't know the exact psychology behind it, but I know that there's a syndrome where young parents today are not in the air, are not enforcing the necessary measures of discipline with their children early on. They're not taking the advice of people who are offering them counseling in that direction. Instead, it's more of a defensive stance that takes place. It's more, you can't tell me what to do. It's more about upholding the child, and the child is not learning anything. The child is not learning how to differentiate between right and wrong. The standard has changed. The moral code has changed. It's not no longer about right or wrong anymore. It's about, am I going to get in trouble? What can I get away with? And now it turns into a game of manipulation, and these children are mastering the game of manipulation because they're practicing their craft as they grow older. So, you know, and let's not excuse the fact that, you know, a lot of brothers are not holding up their end of the bargain. And a lot of times what's happening is, you have the man getting mad at the woman. He'll disappear for a while. You know, children and all, he'll disappear. and then you'll have the sister mad at the brother, or you can't see the children. The children become pawns in this game. And don't think for a second the children don't recognize this. So there's a lot of dynamics that take place, and it's such a complicated scenario that, you know, I'm glad you guys touched on a lot. I've been listening. So you touched on a lot of what's going on in terms of the dynamics and the different roles and how this is a mind-boggling topic, because there is no one answer to cure this situation.
No, we never really have topics that have a one answer to it, which is what the point is. The thing is with us, though, is that there are some common things that could be a start. And one of the things is, we spoke about this on the previous segment, the independent woman's phase now has been taken to a different level. Many of us are becoming independent with a hardness. And the whole idea is for us to be tough but not hard. It's for us to be able to endure but not X out the relevance of the other half. And that's what we've been doing. Like you said, Darlene and Arlene, your mom pretty much grew up with a stepfather that, by all appearances, he could have been there or not been there. You understand? There was no real projection of an image of showing him having any worse anywhere. You know, like if he was to be removed, something would go wrong. The thing is with us is that, and listen, society has dictated a lot of changes. A lot of us, men are doing the abandonment in a different way now. It's like they're not just, back in the days, if you had a father that wasn't in the house, there was still a lot of mutual respect between the two parents. That's the one thing I do know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of need. My father, the biggest, if I had names for him that I could say on the air, that we felt like, okay, but I will tell you this, he consistently demanded, whenever he did pop up for a visit, we ate at a table together. He consistently demanded that we respect my mother at all times. He would come out from wherever he was. If you saw him once a blue moon, he was there to bust his son's butt if they went up against their mom at any point in time to get through their heads that you may not see me for another three moons, but I'll be here if you disrespect your mother. But in the same twisted token, he would say other things to try to justify why he decided to just up and go by putting it on my mom. But either way, in a twisted way, most of the value that we learned was through my dad. You don't walk out with no guy on a date without mad money. You don't let no guy walk in front of you or behind you or around you. You know, you sit at a table. He comes to get you. A lot of old-fashioned values with him being not there. So it was a lot of little things that came from a man. In a split second, no matter what, he will come out in a second and go, oh, what did you say to my daughter? What did you say to my son? And he used to put in our head, I don't care if y'all don't get along with each other at all. If you outside and somebody was fighting your sister and you were there, if you don't come back with as many bruises as she does, I'm going to bust your butt. And then I'm going to bust their butt.
That's
so, these types of values, we respected. Lord knows if we were outside and we saw that Impala pull up, even though we didn't expect him, if we saw it, everybody dropped what they were doing and were hustling like cat on a hot tin roof.
One of the things you brought up, Katie, and it was one of the things you brought up, and it's very, very key, was what you talked about in terms of the respect factor between that your father had and that he enforced for your mother, you know. Meaning that, listen, even if I'm not around, these are the standards, these are the rules, and you know that I'm going to come around and make sure that these rules are being enforced. And if not, we're going to, you know, there's going to be some furniture, rearranged in here. So, but the one aspect you didn't mention, but I know was there, was the mutual respect that your mother had for your father's presence. And,
she was abusive to her, but she knew she could call him for that, and
I didn't mean to cut you, Professor. I'm sorry. That's the one thing that, especially now between the teenage parents, there isn't anymore. They're on Maury talking about each other. He's calling her a whore. She's calling them a no good. They're on the corners with their babies in their hands in the stroller.
You like a door knob.
Well, you know, the account of... The accountability of it all really is something that we're going to have to address rather quickly. And a lot of it now falls on third-party factions like schools and
ATS.
Teachers. And all these other agencies now that have their, one foot inside your house to police what's going on. And with the current climate, you have to look at the entire landscape. When you observe the entire landscape, it's designed to cause chaos within the home if you don't follow the script perfectly. So if you have a young, and like I said earlier, our parents nowadays are younger, so they're not even skilled and trained in the basics of understanding life themselves. I mean,
right.
I used to work at a school, a disciplinary school, or alternative school here in Philadelphia, and I had 12 and 13-year-old children who were parents. Now, think about it. I'm working in a disciplinary school. This is a school for children with issues handling themselves at a socially appropriate level, regardless of anything society might have done to them. These are children who are at that level right now. So they are having issues dealing with their emotional responses to any stimulus and things that are occurring in the environment, and that now they have children. So, and that's the generation we're dealing with now. We're dealing with their children, and that's what you see when you go into the stores and you see the children cussing their parents out. And you see, Mom, I saw you respond to Grandma like that, So, we're so gullible, our children are so gullible that they allow that argument to have some gravity to it instead of saying, listen, I was wrong, and I'm not going to continue this debilitating pattern. We're going to have to break the cycle somewhere. Instead, they're ready to go out in the street and fight with their children. You look at the stuff that goes on in social media, which has such a powerful grasp of our children right now, that you have people jumping off of rooftops and committing suicide based on social media bullying. But you got the things going on in social media where you have parents allowing their children to videotape them twerking. I saw a video of an entire football field full of young females between the ages of 6 to 20, and they were all out there twerk drill.
That twerking, supposedly twerking, dance-a-size video, and frankly, I think that rapper person is a damn sick pervert for even doing that, and that these mothers allowed it. I want to touch on something you said, Professor, and then Deacon, I want to get you in on the next question, because actually both of you mentioned pretty much the same thing, just that Deacon had a little bit of an extra twist on it. The one thing that I do notice is this: regardless to whether or not there have been single parents, the difference in the way that you two grew up is that you had mothers that had male influences to send you to. Okay? Now, Deke, you there with us, Deacon?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I know that you consistently speak about, Mama G. She was a G, always coming out. Your mother pretty much could handle our business, no man included. But you also spoke previously on earlier segments where you had a train of men in your life that she could send you to or bring in. Am I correct?
Yes. My uncle, her brother.
That was one.
And he was He was a strict disciplinarian. And even when my father was no longer in the home, he still had some say-so as far as my way of acting towards my mother as far as disrespect and all of that. So it was some strong fists still around, so you know, but you have some single mothers that don't have that privilege or that honor to have someone as a male figure in their lives. So a lot of us are not that fortunate. So you have to try and go another angle, try and get them into some type of programs or a mentoring program or something like that. You know, because there are plenty of programs out there. But then you have some women that are so strong-willed that they refuse to go that route and don't even, and it seems like they're ashamed to admit they need some help. If you need help, you need help.
Right. I was ashamed.
Now, one of the things, and Professor, the reason why I went to him is because you also said you had a lot of male backups that kept their foot in your, you know, kept you in check pretty much. So
yeah. You
two are the product of what that brings up. You both turned out. You went through your slave streak, and we definitely know your story. You've been on every bad side of the track that there was. But, you know, eventually your mom, seeing you turn into something she raised you to be and being alive to still see it, meant something to you. The thing that I see now, for example, taking apart this video we're talking about, we had a black male standing there videotaping it with a cell phone. And his videotape was not to bring awareness to the fact there was nobody helping or whatever, but to put this mother on blast. Now, mind you, when they saw this mother was turned to a produce stand picking out groceries with a cart for those same two snot-nosed brats that she had that was walking around there, and I'm going to call them brats because that's a nice little word for what they were. Now, I've seen teens have rebellion, but that's just the type that borders on the predisposition of criminals if we don't get them in check. Now, rather than that fella try to be a YouTube star and be yet again one of those outsiders, look, we can turn one against their own on the inside. He should have been there to say, this is what we need to do as a people, and walk over and approach this child a lot sooner than he did. And then when he did it to just be a little more, how can we put this, a little more feisty on his video when he showed this footage. He put this mother on blast in the worst of ways. And this woman was to the point where after the shock of having her son fight with her in a public damn supermarket and get her help. I mean, this boy didn't just try to fight his mother. He tried to humiliate her.
He succeeded on both counts. But the bottom, you know, to address that video and others like that, because that's not the only one, you know, where children are being honoring, disrespectful, and the parent is not showing any control, but let alone not the parent showing any control, the people around them aren't assisting in a way that's beneficial without overstepping their bounds. It's just beneficial. There are ways that people could have addressed that, and when the brother took the video, I don't know how deep into the video you listened, but there were segments on the video where the mother was being escorted out of the store, and he was screaming, he was whispering, world star, on the video. So you already see his intention was to draw attention to himself for exposing this. But, you know, the what's important to recognize is that nobody in the store addressed the child. Not one person.
Yes, but someone did. Someone did call, and someone did. And as a matter of fact, somebody that stopped the boy was like, you don't be hitting on your mom like that.
You're right. Absolutely right. It was one person. And he did.
And the security
address the
was
young
going
man.
After the mother, not to go against the child. Are you crazy? That is exactly the extra ammunition that kid needed to say, see, if you mess with me, I can go to somebody and you'll be in the wrong. This is
exactly.
Trauma. Now, women.
Well, how does it get to that point, though? And that's the point that needs to be addressed.
Now, I will say this. She apparently seemed, look, there was a part of the way she was carrying herself in a sense where it looked like this had happened before. And more than likely, you know, she's probably, because one of the things she kept screaming out, and believe me, I have been at that point. Now, everybody that looks at me and walks around wondering how I do it, I tell them two things. I pray, and it's them or me, and it's not going to be me. But even with that mindset, even with everything that you do as a single parent, there are still things that will slip past you. And that even with two parents in the home, there's still things that children will do that you cannot control. Because
No. There are, Katie. I'm sorry.
But you
what
know I was saying,
we have, Katie, that's missing. That's very, 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 very vital.
The village.
We used to have the village.
Used
to have 100 eyes watching us at all times. If you did something, believe me, before you got home, your mother already knew about it, and it was a team effort. People are minding their business these days, which is to me is like, it is your business, fool, because these kids are going to be around you. I'm going to be 65 in less than 10 years. I don't want a kid dragging me across the street because he's still in my pocketbook. I'd rather him be helping me across the street because I'm an old lady now. You know what I'm saying? And we as adults, we want to mind our business entirely too much because we do not want to be accountable. Like I said in another discussion you had. See, when you have the ability to say you didn't know, then you have an excuse. Once you know, you no longer have an excuse. So we walk around with blinders on. We keep our focus straight ahead of us. We don't look on the left. We don't look on the right because we don't want to see what's going on. Because then if we see something that's out of pocket, it's our duty. It is our responsibility to get involved. And people don't want to do that anymore. Unless
and
it happens to
need to get
someone
to
directly affiliated with them. It's okay for somebody else's child to beat down somebody else's child, but they better not touch mine. And that's the attitude now. You know what I'm saying? And they uphold their kids right, wrong, or indifferent. I've had mothers confront me, and I used to work in the library system as a special patrolman, and I used to have parents come. I had a mother come out in support. She was upstairs probably reading a book, watching the stories, cooking or whatever, in pajamas. Got up, got dressed, came out in the pouring rain, walked the whole two blocks with her 12-year-old daughter to come confront over 50-year-old me. Because her daughter came home and told her that I rolled my eyes.
Are you kidding me?
I am dead.
Are you kidding me?
I am dead serious.
Okay, Darlene, let me interject right there. Women, wake the hell up. You women, get off your stupid ass. Take your stupid ass off. Cut it out. We are not men. We need to stop posting like men.
Wow.
We need to stop trying to be daddies. Listen, it's one thing where you have to play the mother-daddy role because there's a physical missing. There's a physical absence of a father. But damn it, when there's a man that has some substance in his life that is a good example, that's out there hustling, and he takes an interest, not so much in trying to hook up with you, but taking an interest in your child's future, and you know for a damn fact that you can't handle it. All the time. You need to back the hell off and let a man do his job. Period.
But
you're
going
to take your silly self out of, you're going to take your grown self. Listen, and I'm going to say this to all of you that are silly enough to be out there doing this. Chicken heading with your 12-year-old at 42, you need to stop. Trying to dress in the jeans and stuff like your 12-year-old, you need to stop. You need to stop trying to be men. You're not men. And like I tell all my listeners, I am not going to be feminist simply because I'm a woman. I am not going to be a Latin supporter of everything simply because I'm Latin. And I'm not going to support every black conspiracy thing simply because I'm black if there's no truth behind it. If some of it is about our own responsibility. There is no type of nonsense that requires you to take your grown working self out of your house to come down to confront a security guard in a library because your 12-year-old told you she rolled her eyes.
I could not get over it.
Now, if
you know what I said to her as a mother? I said, you know what, let me tell you something. And see, this is how I address all mothers who come at me in a negative way about their child. I said, okay, we could do this one of two ways. I could care or I could not care. Now, if you don't want me to, hold on, if you don't want me to care, it's 100%. If you do want me to care, that's 100%.
Right.
Now, in the same token, if you don't want me to care, you can't expect me to stop your child when I see him running out in front of a Mack truck. Me to say anything to your child when there's gunshots being displayed all over the place. You can't expect me to warn your child only in the event of danger. If you want me to care, I'm caring 100%. And when they do something wrong, I'm going to get in that behind. Now,
okay,
you
ladies.
Can have it however you want it. You know, and that's how I have to do. That's how I had to deal with parents.
It's terrible.
It was ridiculous. It's hard.
Well,
it was bad.
There's another important thing that you
I'm
brought up
you.
Because nowadays we need to let these mothers know. And like I said, today, ladies, it's about us. Okay?
Yes.
But we need to let these mothers know exactly what the public library is really being used for nowadays. Because it damn sure ain't the Dewey Decimal System.
Child care.
Okay? It's not even that.
Child care.
It's not even that. Let's see if everybody is hip on today's use. What is the public library used for? Now, you, Darlene, having been a security guard there, they're not looking up stuff on a computer because Google has that for them at home. Okay,
no,
they are there to hook up with all the guys you don't want to see them with.
That's right.
They are there to make out in the aisles while they're pretending to look for books that don't exist.
Oh, yeah.
They are there to hook up and smoke weed when they are there to look up books that don't exist. But because mothers feel that library sounds nice and nurturing and it sounds virtuous, and my child is at the library studying right now.
Mm-hmm. That's what you think.
Well, I chime in on that a little bit.
Go ahead.
Let's just call BS where we smell it, because everybody knows what's going on. Now it goes back to what the sister Darlene was saying earlier. When we can pretend like we don't know, we can have plausible deniability. But we know
right.
what's going on with these children. We know in our children's
right.
grades are suffering, and they're in the library all day long. They're not there doing any research. We know what's going on. We know what's going on when our children are coming in the house with clothes that we didn't buy. We know what's going on. We know what's going on when our children are coming up and with the crowd that our children hang with. We see the crowd. We know who's a part of the crowd, and we don't address it. We know what's going on. So, you know, the whole issue of passing the buck is upon us right now, where we have to address those passing the buck. And the people who are passing the buck are, you know, the ones who were young enough or we're grown enough to have these children. And that's just, it's like, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. You know, once
right.
the toothpaste is out, you know, now we have to do something about it. And we need to make sure that we hold the people accountable for raising their children. And
right.
it's no longer to the point where people can say, listen, I just lost control of my child. I don't know where this behavior comes from. No, you've seen patterns from day one. You've seen
right.
patterns from, you know, even if, you know, there are things that get overlooked, you've seen patterns from day one of certain behaviors. You've seen your child snap out in the store. You've seen parents only react to situations when they're embarrassed, not because they want to correct the child's behavior. So that sets in motion a lot of different things. That feeds that morality of, getting caught, not necessarily doing the right thing. You know, that feeds into their whole system, their whole syndrome that our children are dealing with right now, that and our young parents are dealing with right now. We're thinking that the state is going to take care of them, or the state is going to assist them, or, for the young men that are out there thinking that, listen, you know, I could disappear and my only contribution has to be whatever a judge tells me it is. You know, we have to get to the point where, we get back to that village raising children. Now, there's the litigation part of that we haven't talked about, and that's how often people are getting sued and arrested for assisting in those situations too. So, you know, I mean, I have my different ways of addressing youth, and it's proactive. So if I see, for instance, if I see young brothers and sisters on the block, and they're walking down the street coming from school, and I see one of them drop trash on the ground, yo, brother, sister, young sister, young brother, you need to pick that up. We want to keep our communities clean. You know, I'm not trying to confront them like I'm ready to beat them down or something, because they're used to that response. They're ready for that response. So my response is always different than what they're ready for. So it's more so in the sense that I appeal to what they should be doing. So them being responsible and accountable for. So that's one of the things that I like to try to. That's one of the angles I like to try. And I like to take that same approach when addressing the young parents and showing them that, and it's odd because I'm not a parent myself, but I've helped raise a lot of children. So, to show them that these are different angles, these are different avenues you could take. We all need help. And as long as, you know, I've approached them with the mentality of saying that we all need help, they don't necessarily look at it as a personal attack on their character or the job that they're not doing and raising their children, and they're more acceptable to the response or to the offer of providing them some assistance. You know, a lot of times it's a defensive thing because, for one, they're embarrassed about being a young mother. You're age 25 and you have a 12-year-old child. You know, that's a stigma that sticks with a person, because we all know the reputation that unfortunately young females get. And then there's some other things, too, to piggyback off of which one of the things you were saying, Katie. The whole feminist movement, particularly the black feminist movement, is very much accountable for a lot of this "we don't need a man" type of stigma that's going on.
Need to ask one more thing, because I know that I will forget this point, Professor, with what you just said. When the black feminist movement, yes. Let me ask another question. Somebody brought this up today, and I have no viewpoints on the matter. Just a question that I would like to ask, and it's this. Do you also believe that it's a little hard now with, like, the new alternative lifestyles that's going on? For example, somebody brought up, like, the child being embarrassed or spoken about or ridiculed because now they have two mothers, you know what I mean, the same-sex couple. They have two mothers. So really, how does one become the dad, or, you understand? And I believe one of the people that reached out to me on an inbox is a person that is part of the LGBT group.
Community.
You know,
right.
Yeah, he's a member, you know, raised up as one thing and grew up to be another. But, you know, was speaking on that. And then there was another person actually on Facebook who didn't know that this child reached out to me to ask, and he actually brought points like that up out in the open on Facebook. So do you all believe that that could be something else that has to be considered nowadays?
Ooh,
of course.
You know. Yeah, you know.
Even if we don't agree with it, it has become acceptable in society, and it's going to go on whether we like it or not.
That
played a big part in the upbringing of a child, because now a child is
two mothers.
It has to be open minded to a a relationship between two women or two men.
Lifestyle.
You know, a lifestyle. And it, yes, it does affect them emotionally, and they might not think it does, but it does. It really does, because the simple fact that other children don't understand, and the ones who don't understand is the ones who ridicule, humiliate, make fun of, cause problems, bully, talk about, you know, and it causes an emotional imbalance in that child.
Yeah, and also
don't really know how to fight back.
And it's a situation that, as well said, sister, well said, it's a situation that feeds upon, you know, anxiety. It feeds upon the growing number of depressed children that are coming
uh-huh.
into the world, that are dealing with it, because, you know, adults have a hard time manifesting appropriate responses to stimulus that are going on throughout society. So can you imagine a child who has not developed these social or cognitive skills to have to deal with that type of question when adults can't even truly handle the discussion,
right,
let alone the lifestyle? And I'll take it a step further. I know, Katie, you say you don't agree with the conspiracy aspect, but, you know, if you look at now the cartoons that are out, if you look at the curriculums around the different municipalities, Chicago, Illinois, California,
right,
and two other places now where it's not only being pushed as acceptable, it's being pushed as, you know, this is part of the curriculum now. So these children aren't even learning this stuff on their own. They're learning
right.
it.
I want to clarify something. I did not say I'm not believing in conspiracies. I'm saying that I'm not for one or the other simply because before I look at things. That's what I meant. I meant that I'm not going to think simply because I'm a black person that everything is pro-black or
right.
anti-black. And I'm not saying that I'm agree with every woman's issue or every woman's point of view simply because I'm a woman. And that's
right.
what I'm trying to say. As I made it clear on the show, 17 times. I'm about what's right and wrong, what progresses somebody's life, what makes a person feel better, what makes a person do better. I'm not about, you know, just hopping on something simply because it's like saying I only voted for Obama because he's black, not because the man had values or touched issues that affected me or anything. I'm saying that if this had been Hillary Clinton and she had a better something to say, they might say I only voted for her because she's a woman. But what I'm trying to say is that I don't agree or my viewpoint isn't swayed simply by what group it is or what category it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, no,
and,
I
but you
say.
Know what, too, Katie? This is Arlene. We, as the adults, we more for what our preference is. We are not really taking into consideration what the child might think. We still going to go with our sexual preference, which to me is a little selfish in one way, because all children are different. You got kids who can handle stuff, and you got kids that are not equipped to handle stuff. The way some of these kids handle things, they walk in front of a bus, they go start the car and close the garage door and turn the damn car on with the carbon monoxide. They go on the roof and they'll jump off. They'll go out and they'll hurt somebody else. So you have to know your child. That's the bottom line. And if your child is not open to what you're open to, then it's your duty. If that's the kind of lifestyle you're going to stick him in, then it's your duty to do everything in your power to try to get the child to understand your point of view or where you're coming from.
Right.
And a lot of parents don't mind that. This is my preference, and that's that. It ain't nobody's business. I ain't got an answer to you. I ain't got an answer to this one. But you do have to answer to your children. You have to answer to your children.
Arlene, and that's where we were speaking about, because I do have to get this conversation back on the topic, and, you know, I know that it sort of all goes back, but this is getting back to the choices that we as single mothers make, and that is
exactly.
We still have, and then that's the thing, that's another thing. Someone brought up to me that a lot of times
when you have that situation, the same-sex situation, that a lot of times the actual male role in it becomes obsolete, because now you're dealing with the buffered down or the alternative male situation. The whole point is none of that should matter. I mean, you guys all know the sitcom Friends, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know the situation that Ross has a little boy that has a mother that's in a lesbian relationship. But in that respect, they try to keep Ross involved as the father, which he's always fighting with. That's the same way that needs to be applied, listen, as all of us straight, heterosexual, whatever, okay, we also need to keep that type of respect for a male figure. And like I said, ladies, maybe the biological father is not all that, but you cannot take away the fact that your sons and daughters both need a male influence in their life, a good, positive, strong, nurturing male in their life, the one that gives the no-nonsense approach with the love. See, we give love and we overdo it. We can overdo it. Sometimes we can be blind by our emotions as a mom, and that happens more often than not, even when we don't realize it. Okay? Men are like, yeah, right. Okay, come back and do that again.
Right.
All right, listen. Yeah. So you did it like this. Also, men know how to spar with the boys that think that they got physical prowess going on. You want to go after your mother? Come fight a guy. How does that feel?
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel when somebody stronger than you gets the better of you and won't stop bothering you? You understand?
Maybe.
Those type of things. Judge Lynn Toler, everybody knows on this show right now that's my favorite judge and probably the only reality show I actually watch, Divorce Court. And this woman said to this other woman that she was trying to tell this couple they really wasn't ready for a divorce, they needed to go to counseling. She told the mother, you need to let this man step up and be the father he's trying to be in their life because these boys need a man. She goes, I'm going to give you a personal example. I believe she has 4 stepsons that she's raising by her husband. And don't quote me because I heard something different on another show today. But she raising boys. And she called her son over to go to the store. And this boy dragged his feet, pouted. Oh, man, why you want me to go to the store? Why not? And the husband heard the commotion and came in and said, what's going on over here? He said, Mom want me to go to the store. Dad, come on. It's cold, it's long. She don't even need that. He said, boy, get up and go to the store. She said, but Dad, she wants me to. He said, I don't care if your mother wants you to go to hell. You go.
but Katie, this is Darlene. I've been itching for a while. I've been sitting on this. One, there's 2 things I would like to say. The first thing I would like to comment on is the topic touching on prior to. And for me, if this is the lifestyle you choose, and you know that I'm not mad at you, and don't be mad at me. Because I feel that any child is going to need some form of therapy or some kind of therapeutic assistance in order for him to deal with the situation that he knows nothing about. Mm. Okay?
All right, Darlene, that is going to kind of be for another segment. I do have to say that.
I'm going back to, I just wanted to touch on that because therapy can be very helpful to the children. That's all.
Right.
That was my whole point. The second thing I wanted to touch on is ladies, and I want to say this probably without, you know, anybody getting offended. I hear ladies, oh, my God, I wish I had a good man. Oh, God, please send me a good man. I want a man to be in the life for my child. Everything is my child, my child, my child. But when we be going out and we be googly-eyeing these guys that we don't even know and we just put on the best eyes and lashes, right, and we find that you do for instant gratification, you don't have a problem with laying up with this man. If you stop for a moment to think and look at that man and say, if that man is good enough for me to lay with, that he need to be good enough for me to bring home to my son. And if that, because I prayed for a man in my life, and now that God has put one in my life, just like the child had the response of, you're not my father, how are you looking at him chastising my child?
Indeed.
If he was good enough for you to lay with, then he needs to be good enough for you to bring home to your son that is in so dire need of a male figure, right?
Right.
And with that, if you respect him enough, you went to bed with him, so you just ought to respect him, have something out the deal. You know, when he says to your son, what did your mother say? Didn't she say sit down? And then for the mother to go, you ain't his father. Hello? So where's the man that you ask God for? Where's the man that you ask God for? If we took time out, my main point is that if we took time out to look at the men, I mean truly look at the men that we bet as are they good enough for our children, or you think that they would be good quality for our children, then we would be going to bed with less men and have better men in our life for our children instead of going for our instant gratification session.
Indeed, and I don't think they were making a decision on that, were thinking about their kids when they brought that guy on the floor every
my point.
Honestly.
Exactly.
We
saw the session we had on Friday.
Right. And first of all, ladies, I don't think that a good place for you to think of a possible candidate for a
club, right?
Would be in a club.
Because
more than likely, he already got kids he's leaving behind to come hang with the hoochies in the first place. That's what he's thinking. But that's the thing. Now, ladies, 8 minutes left in this segment, so let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, if we are going to go the route of a fellow in our life being around our children that's not his children, and you meet him in the club and he tells you he got children, the next question that better come out your damn mouth to this man is, what's up with the mother? Because a lot of us want to look the other way and act like we didn't hear he just said he has kids. We know he can't carry them, and there's no such thing as flying sperm to catch a star that makes a baby. So, hello, somebody had to carry the kid. So check that out, because if he's in the club with you and he's talking about kids, more than likely he'd have left his baby mama at the house, and he's sitting in the club pretending he's single. That's the first thing. Second of all, let's go to this. We have to learn how to be independent but not X out the other half. And doesn't necessarily mean that you allowing a man to step in and do his role means that you're not in control or that you're weak or that you're anti-feminist. It's none of that. Men have a unique role as women have a unique role. The two of them work together. Whatever Luther Vandross wrote a song or sang a song, Dance with My Father, one of the things he says in there is his mother would tell him to do something, he would disobey, his father would pick him up, laugh, dance him around, and eventually send him back to do what his mother said. So that is what happens. Either you'll get that type of persuasion or you'll get a straight cut, military type, whatever. Get inside and do it. I don't want to hear it. You were told to do the garbage. That's about it.
You on that one, Katie.
Right. We'll sit there and go, but why didn't you do it? But you know I told you to do it, right? Get up and go do it. Get up. No, not right now. Get up and go do it. No, not right now. I'm going to smack you. I'm going to do this. This is what you're going through. What that woman went through in that video is the type of frustration you get when you're looking at this kid you birthed, you love forever, and they grow up to be the pod person that took your kid's body over. So ladies, let the reins go. They're not trying to take your kid. They're not trying to be a woman. They never can be. The same way you can never be a man. But balance is needed for both your daughters and your sons, because sometimes some of these girls need a father's foot directly up their butts.
Exactly.
Some of these girls need the hardness of a dad, and some of them also need the protection and nurturing that a father gives.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we need to up the ante and on our parenting and let these girls and boys have a well-balanced chance at growing up to have both sides of the arsenal in their corner. And by the way, Darlene, we used to have 100 eyes that knew what we were doing from the time we walked from our house to the corner store and back. Nowadays, society has 100 eyes watching so that there could be 1,000 eyes watching that on YouTube. So we need to get it together. You have 1,000 people liking your posts on Facebook and Googling and becoming Facebook activists. Not a damn one is going to get up and be an active for your damn child in the community. So my suggestion is keep your twerking in the closet. Okay, keep your stupid videos in the closet and let a man do his job in your child's life. Right.
Yes. It's too
exciting
going towards or turning into technology zombies.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We so out of touch, nobody's in close touch with one another. You see people walking around the streets, they got their doggone cell phones up in their face or up in their ear.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Almost getting hit by cars and buses in California because they can't hear. You calling them. Get out the way. Stop. Move. Run. Duck. Dodge. They can't even
hear. You take their cell phone away from them. They act like they're going through withdrawals like they've been on a drug for years.
For real. You really, really would think that.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's how society has it. Where we...
Yeah.
Pretty much are becoming obsolete. These kids are raising themselves. Yes, there's a lot of single mothers and stuff out there, yes. But the way society is designed now, our children are basically the parents. They're making the decisions on their bodies. They're making their own decisions on pregnancy. They're making their, and as a mother, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with a doctor giving my child an abortion, and I don't have to know about it. But when she comes home and she's hemorrhaging out of her mind or something went wrong, then you want to hold me accountable. You understand? So, you know, being a single parent is like the hardest job ever.
And that's why, because we are down to our last 2 minutes, that's exactly why we have to stop trying to really try to play roles we're not meant and designed to play. Not saying that we can't. Ladies, we can do it all. And for those of you gentlemen that are out there being single moms and dads as well, kudos to you. Tomorrow's your turn. But we will definitely need to start learning when it's time to be independent and when it's time to be a little interdependent. So everybody can weave together, and that's where we need to be. Now, I need to sign off, everybody. I want to thank all of you, especially you, Professor, for coming in, and Deacon, and all of you live. Ladies, miss you all the time. Thank you very much for coming in. Happy New Year to you, too, because I didn't get to say that to you. And to all of you, we, again, 20,114 people as of this morning. I want to thank every one of you. And tomorrow, if everything goes okay, happy four-part two resume. We have a new young African-American author that is part of our showcase, our new writer showcase. He writes some wonderful pieces, and I want to showcase it tomorrow. Hopefully, he'll have time to interview with us as well for the first little part of the show. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless you all.
God bless you, Katie.
Good night.
Blessings to all. Peace unto you all and your family.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.